Today is February 27th. This is a story orally given by Mr. Reginald Barney, who is a lifetime resident of the Canaan area. Okay.
I was born in 1927 and lived on a small dairy farm on a side hill under Mount Cadogan, overlooking the town of Canaan. We had 20 milking cows, 15 head of young stock, 3 horses, a pair of oxen, a pair of steers, 2 pigs, and 50 hens, and a large bull with a ring in its nose. My first 8 years of schooling were held in a one-room schoolhouse with an attached woodshed and outhouse. There was no running water at the sink. We had to go to a small spring above the school and bring water back in a pail. The teacher taught all 8 grades by herself, although those in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades would help her with the lower grades. The teacher opened the class day by reading a portion from the Holy Bible, then the Lord's Prayer, and of course the flag salute. As a youngster, I remember riding down to the Canaan Railroad Depot in an old truck to pick up a load of grain for the cows, horses, and chickens. The grain would come in 100-pound sacks, and we would have to get a load every 2 weeks. There would usually be several other farmers lined up at the boxcar door, waiting their turn, so I had plenty of time to explore the station area and the freight yard and take in the sight and sounds of train activity. I was intrigued by the huge steam engines and thrilled when the engineer would holler down a greeting to me. There would usually be some sort of train activity going on, such as a steam engine taking on water by the huge water tank, of which the cement foundation can still be seen at Depot Park, on a pusher engine coming backwards from Orange Summit and turning around on the Y before returning to West Lebanon, or a freight unloading supplies at the freight house, or a passenger train stopping to discharge and take on passengers, or an express train roaring through towns. Back on the farm, by the time I was 14, my days consisted of work and school with little time to play. A typical day would start at 4:30 a.m., cleaning the stable gutters and putting down fresh bedding, milking the 20 milk cows, straining the milk, bottling the milk, and cooling the milk. Breakfast was at 6:30. At 7 a.m., we would load up the milk truck with crates of quart glass bottles, pint glass bottles, and 1/2 pint glass bottles of cream. All at 7:15, we would leave for the milk route, peddling milk door to door in Orange along Route 4, Canaan Village, Canaan Street, and Canaan Center. By 8 a.m., we would have most of Canaan Village done. Then I would go to Canaan High School from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. By the time I was 15, Orange one-room schoolhouse was closed and the students were sent to the Canaan Grammar Schools next to Canaan High School. My folks paid the bus driver to take me home. As soon as I got home, I changed my clothes and went to the barn for the evening chores. In the evening, 40 quarts of milk was taken down cellar in the main farmhouse to be run through a separator. One spout brought skim milk, at which was fed to the pigs and hogs. The other spout, cream, came out. The cream was sold in 1/2 pint glass bottles, and what was not sold was saved for churning. Usually, once a week, the cream was put in a churn and patted around until it made chunks of butter. The chunks of butter were then salted and made into round balls and stored on a large shelf in the pantry. The 1930s were tough years economically. Many were out of work, and many families were very, very poor. I remember one family in particular had 4 children who boarded our school bus for the one-room school in Orange. Even though it was below zero, freezing cold, they would be poorly clothed. The soles of their shoes would be coming apart and held on by jar rubbers. All they had in their lunch bags was a hard black biscuit. My heart went out to them, and the teacher and I and a few others would share our lunch boxes with them. Living on a farm had many advantages. We were practically self-sufficient. We had all the milk, cream, butter, eggs that we needed. We had beef cows and steers that could be slaughtered for beef, hogs and pigs for pork. We had huge gardens in the summer, and the womenfolk were kept busy canning greens, corn, peas, beans. We had high bush blueberries and abetus strawberries. We had currants and apples. We had cider and plenty of wild raspberries and blackberries. We usually harvested 75 bushel of potatoes each year. Potatoes were the main diet of the day, morning, noon, and night, either fried, boiled, or baked, and sometimes scalloped. The main staples we had to go to the store for was for flour, sugar, and spices. Oranges, peaches, grapefruit, and pineapple came in crates or bushel baskets and usually came by railroad express. On the farm, the year was divided into four seasons, spring, summer, and fall, and each season had its special work to do. In the spring, we had a maple sugar orchard with 500 maple trees that we tapped. We had hung the buckets and covers. Maple sugar in season, it was called. Sugar roads had to be broken out by horse teams or oxen. If the snow was especially deep, we would use oxen with a slip yoke. The sap was gathered by large buckets and emptied and strained into a large three-barrel container mounted on a dragger sled. The sap in the three-barrel vat was unloaded at the sugar house into a large six-barrel holding tank. Then it was piped down to the sugar house to a nine-barrel holding tank where it ran into an evaporator and boiled until it changed to syrup. The summer season was known for haying. Mm-hmm. That was called the haying season. Mm-hmm. As a boy, we started out with horses and a mowing machine. John Deere is the name of the machine. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting, learning to mow when I was probably 10 years old. I had to sit on the lap of a man that worked for my dad, and he taught me how to use my foot to raise the cutter bar and to hold the reins of the horses at the same time. Then we did the raking with a one-horse rake, and then after it was raked, we would pile it up into piles, heaps of piles, and then we had a hay wagon with horses or oxen that would come down through the field with piles on each side, and a man on one side, the man on the other side, would pitchfork the piles of hay into the hay wagon and bring it to the barn to be stored. At the storage barn, we had a huge hay fork that came down from the beams and brought it went into the piles of hay on the hay rack, and it would lift the hay up, and then on a track it would shove it down to the loft on either side, and then you jump or pull a rope and it would leave fall into the hay loft. After the horse and buggy days were over with, we got our first tractor, I think in 1946. And we did our mowing with the tractor, and then we raked it with the tractor. And then we had a hay loader. We still raked the hay into windrows and rows, and we'd hitch the hay loader behind a truck, and it would bring the hay up a ramp and dump it onto the body of the hay rack. And then after that, we bought a hay baler and baled the hay into square bales. We never yet had those large round bales that they have today. We all had small square bales. Right. So that was the summer job. In the fall, it was harvesting the crops. It's cutting the corn. We planted 3 to 5 acres of corn. Every stalk had to be cut by hand with a sickle. Mm-hmm. And it was a back-aching job. But it took us usually the month of September to cut those by hand, those acres, and bring it to the silo and have it chopped and sent up into the silo. Wintertime was woodcutting time. After delivering the milk downtown to the customers, we'd go to the woods and work to the loom. And then after noon meal, we'd go back to the woods and work to 3 o'clock because we had to start chores and feed the cows around a little after 3. We used to have to cut about 30 cords of wood by hand with a cross-cut saw. That was days before the chainsaw. Yeah. And it took all the winter time to do that. We used a lot of wood, of course, to make maple syrup. Mm-hmm. We all the heat for the farmhouse and the other house was all wood stoves. So that's my early childhood.
That's a wonderful description of farming too. Did your father stop farming at a certain point?
My father developed a rheumatic fever when he was around 45 or 50, and that's why I had to take over and do most of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have time to go to college. I would think not.
You don't have time to do anything.
I couldn't even play sports since high school.
Yeah.
It was just, I was tied right down to that.
Right. So when did you stop farming?
We had to sell the farm in 1969. We couldn't make a living anymore on the small farm.
Right.
And luckily in high school I took the commercial course for peeping and typing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of it came easy to me when I bought out insurance business.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's why you're the treasurer of every organization in town. Thanks very much.